Okay, this section of the course is going to be about payments and some of the issues you may run into with it. Your payments for schools is, they may come from any one of the following sources. They may come from the treasury of the PTO-PTA, and then you may be paid directly through the district. If you've got, you know, a district, it's not necessarily the county, but it's a district of schools. And a district of schools, it could be anywhere from four schools to half a dozen schools to more, or it could be like a central school where it's a a K through 12, you know, ages 5 through 18 district, all in the same building or on the same campus, so to speak. Here in New York, you may also be paid by something called BOCES, and that's what does BOCES stand for? Board of Education, I can't remember what it stands for, but it's basically a funding program that helps fund arts and education programs. I don't know if there's things like BOCES in other states, but I wanted to mention it in case anybody from New York buys this program, and in case you run into something similar to your state, or if you're in another country, something like that. It's basically considered arts and education. And arts and education, you've got different organizations which will fund things. They fund things to expose kids to different culture, expose kids to different music, expose kids to different ways of having their daily curriculum reinforced. So consider it arts and education funding. You may also be paid through a grant. And that is like a government grant or a big corporate grant that is paying for paying for the show. I had SC Johnson pay for a really nice gig. It was like $4,000 for a couple of days worth of shows during the pandemic, and that was really nice. The company, they do a lot of corporate work. Many corporations, they do a lot of sponsorship work to get their name out there as being good corporate citizens, and they may sponsor programs. You may also have your program paid for by townships, which is similar to districts, but it's not the school district per se. It's a township which oversees funding for all kinds of different things, not just a school, but, you know, for different aspects of the community. Now, if you're being paid through the PTA treasury, I'm going to tell you now all the ways your payment may be delayed. If you're being paid by the PTA treasury, those are often the best because those are supposed to be paid for that day. In my experience, and this drives me crazy, and this has happened for 20 years, I mean, I've done many different things to try to stave this off, and payment for treasury from the PTA directly, the treasury account, may be delayed because, as luck would have it, and it astounds me how often this happens. I wonder if I'm being fed a line very often. But very often, I'll be told when I get there, oh, the treasurer for our PTA, they're on vacation, they got the checkbook with them, and nobody else can write the check. I'm like, oh my God, it happens all the time. And of course, nobody thought to check on that, you know, before my show, because we book it out months in advance. The district, very often the district, at least in the states that I've worked, they will often not pay you until 30 days after the fact because they cut checks once a month and they refuse to send checks out before the show has been performed. And for this, I kind of get it because they've been, and I believe that many districts do this because they've been stiffed before. Many years ago, this was at least 10 years ago, maybe more than that, I had a school call me and want to book me for, I think it's my recycling show, it doesn't matter. And we booked it, I got and this is back before I was doing hardly anything with the email. I said, okay, great, I got all the information, I wrote it all down, I'll mail you the invoice and the agreement, and we'll be all set. And she's, okay, great, and then we're getting off the phone, and she goes, now you'll show up, right? I said, well, yeah, of course I'll show up. And she goes, well, we had a guy a couple of years ago, he didn't show up. We paid him in advance, and he didn't show up. I'm like, wow, that's terrible. I said, I assure you I will show up. So I mailed out the agreement. They booked the gig like 4 or 5 months in advance. They booked well in advance. So after a couple weeks after I mailed out the agreement, my check arrived. I'm like, boy, you guys didn't learn very well, did you? So, but a lot of districts, they cut checks every 2 weeks, but they just have this 30-day system in place, and that's just how it is. So if you want to work for those districts, you have to understand that your checks are going to be delayed. Doesn't thrill me. It shouldn't thrill you, but that's just how it is, unfortunately. Now, BOCES, same thing. Or arts and entertainment, same thing. You know, consider it like a 30-day thing, where after you get paid, the folks who hired you at the school, they'll be required to fill out paperwork verifying that you actually showed up and did the gig, and then you'll get your check. They say 30 days, but it depends on when they cut the check. So if, say, you do your show on the 12th, and they cut the check every 30 days on the 1st, you're not going to get the check in 2 weeks. They'll make you wait like another 30 days often, so you'll get the check like 45 days after the fact. It drives me absolutely crazy. That's just how it is for a certain district. Just be prepared for it. Grants, same thing. There's paperwork to be filled out to verify you actually showed up. Signatures have to be given. And with a grant, very often you're going to get paid 30 days after the fact. Now, there are exceptions. I just had, the other day, I had an after-school program hire me. They'd hired me before. And I was and they said 30 days, and I was expecting 30 days. So I sent them out my invoice after the fact, because that's how they wanted it done. And lo and behold, I got my check like a week later. I was like shocked. I was very surprised by that. Townships. Now, townships are the same thing. Again, you may get your check 30 days after the fact. And townships, they do this weird thing where every time I hear it, I flinch inside, because it makes me feel like I'm not going to get my check. Because they have this procedure they have to do where they will say, okay, now after the show's over, at our next board meeting, which is, you know, on the 1st or the 15th of the month, sometimes both, the board gets together and they have to vote, and then you'll get your check. I'm like, what do you mean vote? And it's just a procedure. They have to vote. So it sounds like, the first time you hear this, you might go, oh my God, they may vote against me. And they're like, no, it's just a procedure thing. That's just how they have to do things. And it drives me crazy because I have to wait for my money. But honestly, I get it, because without that vote, you could have people spending money willy-nilly. Like, one board member could decide to fund something, write a check out of the coffers, and then the other board members don't know it, and you've got anger, you've got, you know, misappropriation of funds. So when you understand that a lot of these are protocols in place, not to screw you, not to force you to wait for your money, but it's more just they have procedures they have to follow to make sure that funds are not misappropriated and to make sure that assembly presenters show up. I mean, I've heard horror stories about flaky assembly presenters who don't show up. I hear a lot more about it in the library market, how difficult it is for many librarians, media specialists, to get to get an invoice from a presenter. So they have all these protocols in place that you have to do, and depending on who you're dealing with, and there's exceptions to all this stuff too. I mean, I've had grants, townships, districts, treasurers all have my check for me on the day of the show. It really depends who you're dealing with. I'm simply letting you know that there may be a lot of instances, depending on where you're working, where your check may be delayed. In fact, right before I recorded this, I'm driving home from a gig, and my wife called me and said, oh, you got two checks in the mail. And I know what they're for. They're for close to $4,000, and they're for shows that I did about a week and a half ago. Yay. I got this money waiting for me. Now, conversely, the shows I did today, I got paid in advance. I got the check like a month ago. and those drive me nuts, because then when I go to do the show, I've been paid in advance. I feel like I'm doing the show for free. And just as a business tip, if you get paid in advance for your show, put it into an account, like a savings account or something separate that you can't, that you won't deliberately access until after the show's over. You hold it in escrow. That way, if something happens, you've got to return that check. You haven't already spent the money. You know, I have two business accounts for my business. I have a checking account. I have a savings account. Actually, I got more than that. I've got three accounts. I've got different savings accounts for different things that I'm doing. But I always have a lot of money in my savings account, so that if I get the check for a show that was paid in advance and something goes sideways, then I can refund their money. And in fact, I've got a couple of shows that I did that I got paid for in advance right before the pandemic hit. And I've tried contacting the schools to find out, you know, they're for areas no longer travel to, and I want to return the money. And I've not been able to get a hold of anybody. I've been having this money in escrow for, you know, 3 years now. But anyway, and then on occasion, you'll also get a school that will want to pay by a credit card. I love these. Doesn't happen very often, but just every once in a great while, a school will say, you know, can we pay with a credit card? I'm like, and I love it. So I've got a merchant account, and I've got everything set up. And then on even more rare occasions, somebody will want to pay me with PayPal. So have a PayPal account set up, make it a business account, have a merchant account set up, be prepared to take credit cards, because you never know. And some people gripe and whine about the fees associated with credit cards, but I look at it in two ways. Number one, those fees associated with a credit card or merchant account, it's the cost of doing business. And secondly, the mental security that comes with being paid with a credit card. I don't have to worry about losing a check. I don't have to worry about somebody forgetting the check. I know if I get the approval on that credit card, I run the credit card, and I got that notification that comes up approved, that's literally money in the bank, and that's how I prefer to be paid. I don't get paid with credit cards very often with schools, but when I was working at the birthday market, I got paid with credit cards quite a bit, and I loved it because I didn't have to worry about, you know, rubber checks or anything like that. So anyway, that is it for this section about payments and what you can expect. One last thing before I wrap this up. Deposits. Depending on the school you're working for, depending on how they handle things, if you're working for a school where they're funding your assembly from the treasury, the PTA, PTO treasury, then you may be able to get a deposit. But again, in my experience dealing with PTAs, they're really disorganized. Many times they're really disorganized, and it's like pulling teeth trying to get a damn deposit. So if you're getting paid through a district or BOCES or grants or townships or anything like that, you're not going to get a deposit. They just will not acquiesce and give you a deposit. So something to be aware of. And I got to the point when working with schools that I don't even ask for deposits anymore. I don't even care. Every once in a great while, a school will ask me about a deposit. And if they say, now we can send you a deposit, where do we send the deposit to? Then I'm like, okay, I go ahead and I set it up to have a deposit paid. And that's mostly because they expect it. Schools that expect it, or really any client that expects it, if they expect to pay a deposit and you don't take one, in my opinion, you're really doing them a disservice, because a deposit means that your data is secured, and they don't have to worry about you canceling on them because you double booked themselves. So I've run into a lot of magicians where they've done that. They've double booked themselves. Now they got to find somebody to cover. The deposit's been paid, and there's hurt feelings that go all the way around. I don't run into that very often with schools where they expect to pay a deposit, but when they do, I let them pay. And back when I was flying to gigs, I mean, I used to fly all over the country. I mean, I've literally performed in 36 states across the country. Actually, 38, but two of those states were just virtual, so they don't count. So I used to fly out west all the time for different gigs. And for those, I always insisted on a deposit, because I did not want to cough up $400 or $500 plane ticket, and you have to wait 30 days to get paid and that sort of thing. So, but that is basically it about payments and what you can expect in the school market. Now we'll move on now to the next section.